Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Bites for Kids. This is Suzanne Lawrence. I'm your host, and today I'm going to be talking to Michael Reed. Now, Michael is calling in. Actually, I think it's evening there. He's in Cambridge, England, so he's calling in from there. And today he's going to talk to me about his book called The Adventures of the Parsley Family and the Dancing Snail. So welcome, Michael. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm in southern Florida, and we're about to have a big storm, so I hope we're going to stay connected and no problems right now. I don't know if you're familiar with Florida at all, but it can be a horrible storm one minute, and then the next minute it can be just sunshiny and great. So hopefully the storm will blow over. So listen, before we get started talking about the book itself, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about your background? Because you've, been an educator and in education and all kinds of stuff. So just tell people a little bit about your background and how you started writing for children. What led you to that?
Sure. I'm 68 years of age and retired now, but I was a head teacher at a primary school in England for 33 years, and that's aged 4 to 11. And so education is a very important part of my life, or was. Once I retired, I have three grandchildren, and I came to a decision in 2014 that it would be good to write some stories, but I wanted to write the stories about them, that they were in them. And so I wrote the first three stories of the book, and I put them in it. Yeah, sure. And the point once I came to publish was that they had to change their names, obviously, so they found that quite interesting.
Okay. God. All right. So I'm going to lead people to your website. You've got a website for the book, and they can see the cover, some illustrations. I just think this is fascinating, the way you took all this information about snails. So the website for the book is called snailguardians.co.uk. So just snail, S-N-A-I-L, guardians.co.uk. So how did you come up with this idea of snails?
Well, when I started to write, I'd got no idea it would be about snails, because there's three stories at the beginning of the book, which is Dog Walk, Smelly Dog, and A Lost Tortoise. And then stories go on about fairies, because the children became interested in fairies. And I wrote those stories that they would be in their garden. But I remembered that my eldest granddaughter, when she was the first one on her own, she would go into the garden and collect snails and put them in a circle. And then when they slithered away, she'd put them back. Then I thought, well, what would the snails think about that? And then I thought the idea about the children becoming snail guardians, and that the eldest one, who's Trixie in the book, actually teaches them to dance. And that opens a whole new adventure for the snails and the snail guardians.
Yeah, because I'm looking on the homepage of the site, and you've got the Essex snails, the Norfolk, the beach snails, visiting snails, thunder snails, and then the Parsley Family Snail Guardians, which is obviously, I guess that's you, and is that your wife or daughter and the three grandchildren? So they are the Parsley family, right? The grandkids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my family, yeah.
Okay, that's really cute. So who drew all these snail pictures for you?
Sorry, say again?
Who drew all the snail pictures here that I see?
The cover is owned by my publisher, Novum, because they wanted to do that. I drew a cover, but they didn't like it. But all the illustrations inside and those on the website are mine, and I own them.
Oh, okay. So tell us a little bit about the story. Now, you said it starts out and it's got these others. So is it a collection of just different stories?
Well, where the snail stories go, you mean?
Well, I mean, the book is called The Adventures of the Parsley Family and the Dancing Snail. But you mentioned the part about the dog Harvey the cat, all that kind of stuff. Where
sure.
do they come in?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the first three stories, the dog walk, the smelly dog, and the tortoise, that's all, 75% of that is truth, and I've just spiced it up.
Mm-hmm.
The fairy stories, lots true, but I wanted to involve everything in the story for them, so they were in the story with their pets, with their mum and dad, and to some extent mm-hmm. with my wife and I, and their uncle, so it was involving everybody so they could see that it had got some reality in it.
Mm, okay. All right. So then tell us a little bit about the process of actually writing the story. How long did it take, and what's the writing process like for you?
I started writing the stories at the beginning of 2014, and once the snail story idea was in my head, I wrote quite regularly because one story led to another. There's the Norfolks, there's the beach snails, which are the Americans, and then the idea that other people would hear that they danced and would visit the garden. And then I decided to go along the point that the Norfolk snails would actually teach the Essex snails about the human festivals and celebration days in the UK and about seasons. So the book became educational, and then other cultures visited. I got picnics in so we could experience food. There's dance, there's culture, there's language.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking, if people visit your website again and they click on book one, because it looks like you've got three books planned, but books two and book three, they're still in the works. Is that correct?
That's right. I mean, when you get a book published, you're always thrilled about it, but actually your book gets published with about 1 million others. And so the second book came quite quickly. My first book didn't get published until the autumn last year, 2015. But by then I'd written most of the second book. And now I'm on the third book.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you started the first book, you said, in 2014, and you wrote most every day. And how long did it take you to get that finished?
How long did it take me to?
Yeah, to write the whole thing?
About 6 months.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Well, it was a case of I got no idea I was going to get them published. So the stories came when I wrote them, and I typed them out, and I altered them. And then people said to me, well, you really ought to try and publish it. So that's when the search for a publisher started.
And once you found the publisher, what happened then? Did you have to make changes or?
Yeah, I mean, I went on to Google to find publishers, and this is where I found Novum, who support new authors. You have to pay a percentage towards getting it published. But once they receive it, obviously an editor reads it, and they put some of the punctuation or whatever they think is right, and you get it back as a brief.
Oh, okay. So then when you got it written, you sent it to the publisher, then how long was that process from the time that you did it? Because you said they had an illustrator come up with the cover for you. So how long did it take them before the book came out?
Yeah, I mean, it took a long time. It was quite frustrating, but I guess that's the publishing process. But, they got the script, and we started talking about it in June, and it wasn't published until October, November. So it was a long process. I mean, thank heavens for email, because it went backwards and forwards between us via email to get the illustrations right, the cover right, and the text right.
Yeah. Actually, though, you know, in the world of publishing, that isn't too long, because with many traditional publishers, once you submit a manuscript, it can be sometimes up to 2 years before you see your book.
Well, perhaps I was lucky.
You have to be. I always tell people, you've got to be patient when you're coming into the publishing world, because to kind of put a pun on your snail's thing, it moves at a snail's pace sometimes. So
that's
interesting. Well, this is really cute. I like the map you have on here, too. You've got this. Tell us the different snails now. Are these snail families? where we see the beach snails, the Essex snails. What's the difference in the snails?
Well, when I created the idea in my head of the snail garden and then the different types of snails, the Norfolk Beach and Essex, I wanted to draw them so I could get a feel of what they'd look like. So I went on to Google and put in drawing snails. And the Essex snails, males, and the females with the long heads, that was on there. And then people started buying these snails, or I saw them in shops. And this beach snail was one that I bought. He looked quite handsome. But I like the female snails in the way that they're drawn. But later on, you got the snails from up north, the females changed. And so I tried to bring in some change for each group, but I've not drawn some of the groups yet. Now I've got the website up, that's an opportunity to do that.
So these are actually real types of snails that you're talking about.
Well, they're not types of snail, no. They're all, this is where an artist on Google had put some ideas up and how you can draw them. So they're all fictitious.
Oh, okay, because I don't know anything about snails.
You won't find them in your garden.
Okay. I was just wondering because I thought, I don't know anything about snails, so if you're trying to educate me on snails here, we're starting at zero, so I know nothing about snails.
Well, the big problem is that snails don't have eyes, and they don't talk, so they had to be humanized.
That part of the dot, yeah. That part I kind of got, but other than that, I wasn't sure. One thing that I find a little amazing is your granddaughter, that she would pick up these snails and play with them and put them in the line and everything, like you said, because usually people think of snails as kind of, you know, icky things they don't want to touch. So that's kind of amazing that she enjoyed the snails so much. So maybe this will give snails a better name, you know. They'll get a better rep here from your book. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, most people don't like snails, do they? Snails and slugs. So I think, you know, perhaps that's the hard sell of the book, really, trying to convince people to become snail guardians.
Well, they look cute in the book, so, you know. And there are other things that are quite so cute. When we read books about them, we become quite, you know, enchanted with them, so... Why not snails? That'll be kind of cool. So, gosh. So, when did the book finally come out?
When was the book?
Yeah. When was it released?
October. And October. Within a few weeks, it went on to Amazon, which was useful.
Okay.
And then it went on as an ebook. Yeah.
Oh, all right. So, tell us a little bit about what the process has been like for you in terms of marketing, because, you know, many people that listen to this show want to do what you did. Maybe they're grandparents and they've, you know, got a great story that they think would be wonderful not only for their own grandchildren but for other children the world, you know, over, and they want to write a story, but they think, gosh, if I did a book, I have no idea how to sell it or how to market it. So what's that been like for you? Does your publisher help with that, or are you left on your own to do all that?
The publisher's been, I suppose, as helpful as they were prepared to be, in that the book has been at some book fairs. When it's launched, they get in touch with people in the UK that they think would be interested. It obviously doesn't go into every bookshop because that's not feasible. I think I'd got this idea that the book would be more available, but I have to realise on the day my book was published, possibly another 1,000 or 2,000 books were published that day. So the competition is really, really hard. I think the difficulty was that very early on you signed a contract with your publisher, and that's at a price. And what happens is the book is a bit expensive for what it is, but there's nothing I can do about that. And therefore the marketing became more of a challenge because of that. But you just have to think that the publisher knows best, but possibly... In this instance, I'm not that confident that the publisher does know best, because trying to market it, given the competition, has been quite hard work.
So what kind of things have you done? Have you gone to local bookstores to try to get them to carry the book?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
What kind of things have you done yourself to sell the book? Have you gone to local bookstores
right.
to see if
I paid a firm in London to put it through all their contacts, and that's where I've had more success in getting people interested in it, like your good self. So I've had interest mm-hmm. in Canada, Ireland, America, Singapore, Australia, but I haven't had any interest in the UK. Because there
really?
Seems to be so, yeah, there's so many books published, certainly children's books, and mine just hasn't sat in the right desk.
That's really funny, because I know there are many books in the United States that come out every day, too, so I wouldn't see that, you know, it would be any different here. That's just, gosh, that's really amazing. Odd to hear. Well, even with all the difficulty of marketing, you know, and selling the book, let's go back to the writing process again. What did you enjoy most about coming up with this book and this idea?
Sorry, I didn't hear that again. Can you just say it again?
Yeah, what did you enjoy most about writing the book, and what do you enjoy most right. about being a published children's book author now?
I think the thing I like most is the stories come to you. It's different kind of stimulus. Sometimes the stories wake me up. I mean, in book two, I've written about Santa Snail, and this was at Christmas, and I can remember Christmas Eve. I couldn't sleep very well. I woke up, and this story was in my head, and I came down and wrote it. So a lot of the stories have been thinking about it's icy, or it's bonfire night, or something of that sort, and then suddenly the story is in my head, and I have to find a book and start writing it down. Or at least get the first draft down of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. God. Do you know how many words this book is? The word count?
How many?
Yeah, do you know the word count for this book? Total words?
How many words?
Yeah, do you know how many words are in this book?
No. It's quite thick, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of pages. It's 137 pages, so... It's a lot of work. I mean, some of the stories are quite short. Some of the stories are a little bit longer. It just depends what's going to happen. I mean, the stories hit a kind of format of the snails, their visitors arrive, they dance, they eat, they share a few things, they perhaps dance again, then they go. So that there's a kind of format that I write to.
Yeah.
Or it's Thunder Snails, where something goes wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I first saw the book, I thought it was going to be a picture book, but it's more like a story book, you know, a different story that you can sit down and you know, read to children. Do you find that for most of the children that enjoy this book, they enjoy it from someone reading it to them, or do you have children that, you know, are old enough and they read the book themselves?
I think the cover is a bit young. No of them were really keen on this cover. And again, because you're in the euphoria of getting your book published, you tend to go with what your publisher suggests. But I think the cover is rather young, and it's more seven pluses that I think it targets. And also, Novum were restrictive on how many illustrations. They allowed five. That's why on the Snail Guardian site, I've put far more pictures in so that people can see, or there will be more pictures in, so people can see more of what the characters are.
Gosh, you've really learned a lot from dealing with this publisher this first time. So that's, you know, interesting that you've gotten to learn so much about publishing. So good for you. I mean, you can use that knowledge now. And when the second and third books come out, do you have to stay with the same publisher?
No. I mean, it's likely that... I mean, sales haven't been great, to be truthful. I think it's because of the price. And so I'm thinking that I will wait till October, which is the book will have been published a year then. And then if the publisher's not interested in book two, I should look elsewhere. I mean, I believe you can publish on Amazon for nothing.
Oh, sure, through Create Space. You might even, though, want to find someone to do a professional cover for you, someone who really understands what makes books sell, not only just a good cover, but like you said, a cover that really is representative of what is inside the book. And like I just said, I really thought this book was going to be a picture book when I saw the cover, and not something with quite so many words and so many stories and things. So, yeah, you know. Well, what was the hardest part of writing these stories?
The hardest?
Mm-hmm. Was there any difficult part?
I think once my granddaughter started to read them, I mean, they quite rightly pointed out that they were all a bit nice, and so they wanted something to go wrong. And they're right. Uh-huh. I mean, children do want something to go wrong. So that there's a story about health and safety visiting the garden. But then I thought about the thunder snails, which are, I think, a great invention. And therefore, you have got snails that get trapped down a well, or they get go on a ride on a firework, and the thunder snails have to come in and rescue them. So there was things that were going wrong, or they get attacked by thrushes. So I had to think about what could go wrong, and then I wanted a positive outcome. So the thunder snails were a great thought, and I've used those quite a lot in book two as well.
Mm-hmm. That's really insightful that your grandchildren were the ones that pointed out to you that a story needs conflict. So that's really cute that they brought that to your attention, because they're right. Without a conflict, you've just got pretty much a series of incidences, you know. But to have a full-fledged story, you need to have some kind of conflict that's resolved. So they must read a lot to have, you know, incorporated that and know what, you know, that means to a story. So that's really great. Well, listen, since you were associated with education and children's education for so many years, do you go out now and make school visits and read your book to kids? Because with your lovely accent, I would think it would be so charming to hear you read the stories. Do you do that?
In the UK, visiting schools is really, really difficult these days. You have to be vetted by the government to get into a school to talk to children. So we have really, really, really stringent child protection procedures, which I was very aware of when I was a head teacher. So I've offered to go into schools, even my colleagues who I know, but it hasn't been taken up. There is this problem of certainly males going into schools, which I think is very sad of today's society, but very real. I go into libraries. Libraries are far more sympathetic, and therefore I left the books in certain of the Cambridge libraries or Cambridgeshire libraries, but local bookshops, again, there's so much competition. We've got lots of bookshops in Cambridge because of the university. But trying to get your book in and talking to them is, again, the competition is absolutely massive.
Oh, yeah, I would think there particularly. And while I'm thinking about it, too, everybody in Cambridge has your charming accent, so it's not going to be quite as different for them. But if you could read your stories to audiences in the United States, for example, have you ever considered doing Skype school visits where you're just doing them over the computer where kids can see you, hear you read the story, but you don't actually have to be there? I think Skype visits are something a lot of children's authors have turned to in today's market, you know, simply because even schools in the United States can't afford to have authors come for school visits quite so much if the author's charged. So now they're doing a lot of Skype visits. So if you have those capabilities, and I'm sure you would on your computer, you might check into Skype visits, because I think schools here in the United States, like I said, they would love having someone with your accent read your stories aloud to kids, particularly if you could, you know, hold the book up and show them the book and show them the pictures and, you know, take them to your website and that kind of thing. So that'd be really cool.
Sure.
You know, try some of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's a good suggestion.
So do you have some tips for other children's writers? Like I said, you know, many grandparents want to write a book for children. I think teachers are another market. You know, I'm a former teacher, and I know when I was teaching, I would see so many good books that really motivated me to want to try to write some books, you know, of my own. But, you know, where to start? So what would you suggest people who are wanting to write for children? What would you think they should do?
I think there's somebody who said there's a book in everybody. But I guess that you've got to write a book about things that children are interested in. And I mean, if you're interested in snails, well, there you go. But that was the inspiration of starting to write, and actually it didn't start to go where the book's gone in the end, which is the snails, until what, the 7th story. So I sometimes think you can write and it starts to go in different directions, and that's perhaps the exciting bit. And then sometimes you actually start to think, oh, it's going to go there, but you never knew that when you started writing. So I think you get your exercise book, you get your pencil, and you just start. I mean, I just create, once I knew it was going to be snails, you create that world. That's why it was so important to draw them in the end. So I got their names, what did they look like, draw the parameters of the garden, and then you have to be consistent. So you have to keep the names right, that the garden works, that where the other snails live. But that's all very kind of inspirational, but it all starts from just getting a book and just starting to write and then see where it goes.
That's great. Yeah, and sticking to it, I guess, to make sure, you know, you get the story done. So how did you know, once you'd written all these different stories, that the first book was actually finished, that this is what you wanted in the first book? How did you know that was it?
Well, how did I know that was going to be snails?
Well, after you have the stories down, I mean, it's a collection, you said, of different stories. So how did you know the first book was finished and now the other stories would go in book two and then the next stories would go in book three? Because I'm looking at your website again, and when I look on book two, it says the further adventures of the Parsley family and the dancing snails. You said it leads on from book one and following a year calendar. So is the first book a whole year's worth of activities with the snails?
No, I only got up to Bonfire Night. So I got up, so I wrote through, it got through to November. So what we start off in book two, as you perhaps see there, it starts with Thanksgiving. So the beach snails invite them all to a Thanksgiving meal in their garden. And then we start to go through to Christmas and then into the new year. And of course, in the UK, there's no end of Saint Days at the beginning of the year. You've got Burns Night, and then you've got Patrick, David, St. George. So it all starts at May Day. So there's lots of lovely festivals that I could use the book to kind of educate young children about the festivals in the UK.
Yeah, in a fun way. Through snails. That's really cool. Yeah. Well, people should definitely visit your website and find out more about the book. It's snailguardians.co.uk, and, you know, look on what's under book one, two, and three, and also the picture galleries. Now, it says here merchandise coming soon. What kind of things do you want to create for your merchandise? Little snail stuffed animals or something?
Well, that's on hold for a bit. I've got some badges that someone suggested I had made. So, but it's really that if the book sales start to move, then we would start to look at merchandising a bit more seriously. But it's really to try and get some sales first.
Right. Yeah. Well, good. Gosh. I'm almost wishing, you know, you're going to, I should let listeners know that we're going to be sponsoring a virtual book tour for this book all next week through the National Writing for Children Center. Also, you can find out more about the book there and about Michael, the author here, at National Writing for Children Center, which is just www.writingforchildrencenter.com. I almost wish you could make a recording of you reading a little bit of the book, Michael, so we could put that up on your tour, because I just think that, I know American audiences especially love hearing things in British accents. You know, we're just charmed by that. And I think that if you read some of your story aloud to children, or maybe just make some recordings on your own side even, that might help your U.S. business. You know, that would be really cool. So we'll have to see if maybe that's possible some way. And I'll email you about that, because I think that's a good idea that, you know, we might should try. So, gosh, it's been really fun talking to you and learning more about your snails and your family. Again, I'm looking at your website, and, boy, you do all kinds of things. You play guitar in this little band, it looks like, and then you're a model railway fan, too. So people can find out more about all the stuff you do with that. So you don't have a dull moment, do you?
No, I enjoy life.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's wonderful. Well, listen, once again, I want to let everyone know the name of this book we've been talking about today is called The Adventures of the Parsley Family and the Dancing Snail, and the author is Michael Reed, R-E-A-D. You can find out more about the book by visiting the National Writing for Children Center, where the book is being showcased all this month. That's www.writingforchildrencenter.com. Or you can go to Michael's website, which is snailguardians.co.uk, and find out more about the book as well. So we are all out of time, Michael. Thanks so much for being with me, and I look forward to your book tour next week. So take care, and good luck with the book.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.